and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The latest CBS News poll shows support for President Trump is slipping.
CBS's Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys, Jennifer DePinto, breaks it down.
After 6 months, President Trump's overall approval continues to slide incrementally. 42% of Americans approve of the job he's doing, a slight dip from 45% last month and off the highs reached earlier this year. It's now closer to where it hovered for a lot of his first term.
DePinto says the poll also finds the president continues to get strong approval from his Republican base, but otherwise his numbers are mostly negative. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The MAGA movement has long demanded the release of the government's Jeffrey Epstein files, but now Democrats are joining in. Here's Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar on CNN.
They promised that these documents would be out there, and now suddenly, with a whistleblower reporting that 100,000 documents were reviewed by the FBI to look for the president's name, they've suddenly pulled back and said, no, we're not releasing them.
The president last week ordered the Justice Department to ask a federal judge to release grand jury testimony in Epstein's criminal case. Good, says Tennessee Republican Congressman Tim Perchett, also on CNN.
I applaud the president for wanting to release those files. I think it's a good start.
The health ministry in Gaza says more than 70 people have been killed today as they waited for aid at locations across the territory. The BBC's Yolande Nell reports from Jerusalem.
A journalist working with us has been there and has filmed some of the bodies of people that have been brought in. I have to say they're mostly, from what I can see, young men, some boys. You can't tell exactly, like teenagers. And this is quite typical of what we have seen on other occasions.
Today, Israel's military issued evacuation orders for areas of central Gaza. The IDF ground troops have only rarely operated there. The driver of the vehicle that plowed into a crowd of people outside a Los Angeles nightclub early yesterday morning has now been charged with assault with a deadly weapon. CBS's Elise Preston.
Bystanders pulled the driver from the car and beat him. Police say he had also been shot by someone in the crowd. The shooter remains at large.
Some of the 30 people injured are in critical condition. The driver is in the hospital in police custody. It's July, so it's going to be hot. Here's CBS News meteorologist Andrew Kozak.
For the next couple of days, through at least the middle of the week, areas like Kansas City, St. Louis, we've got heat alerts, we've got watches, we've got warnings for temperatures in the 90s, but feels like temperatures between 100 and 110. So we're talking about a stretch of some very dangerous heat.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. A resident of Eau Claire is speaking out about the impact of cuts to safety net programs, programs like Medicaid and SNAP. Judith Ruiz-Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection reports.
Oliver Wynn and his parents all live with disabilities. He says Medicaid has allowed him to have surgeries that have improved his quality of life to such a degree that he no longer needs a wheelchair. It also helps him pay for medication that would otherwise cost $5,000 a month. Wynn describes the forthcoming federal cuts to Medicaid and SNAP as terrifying.
It's going to change a lot of things for a lot of people, and I'm concerned for myself. I'm concerned for my family, my community. Everyone is going to be affected by this.
It's estimated more than 276,000 people in Wisconsin could lose their Medicaid coverage, and another 90,000 risk losing their SNAP benefits over the next decade. One in eight people in Wisconsin depends on SNAP to help pay for groceries. Wynn is one of them. Although he currently works overnight shifts, he says he still needs SNAP to afford food for him and his child. Before he had Medicaid and SNAP, Wynn says his high medical debts meant he struggled to keep up with food and housing expenses, which led him to become homeless.
Because there's no way to balance trying to feed yourself, trying to pay off this debt, and still have access to health care and rent.
Along with federal cuts, the Trump administration is implementing stricter work requirements for these programs in an effort to curb what it calls welfare dependency. More than 45% of SNAP recipients in Wisconsin are in working families, and the majority of Medicaid recipients in the state are part of the workforce. Wynn says the rhetoric suggesting beneficiaries are lazy and unmotivated isn't based on reality. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny for today, but areas of smoke out there. Light east to northeast winds and highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, still some smoke with lows in the mid and upper 50s. Smoke thinning out Monday. Mostly sunny, once again upper 70s. It's 72 at our studios.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Krebscast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This week, we have a very special guest. Thanasis Antetokounmpo is coming on the show. If you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, you're in for a real treat. We talk about everything from, what's going on next year with the Bucks to pet peeves, what makes him say cripes. He tries his very first bratwurst after 10 years in Milwaukee. He is trying his very first bratwurst right here on the Kripescast. That's sort of a special add-on that we're going to put to the end of this podcast. So, it's going to be great. Make sure you guys check it out. You should also know he is the host of the Analysis podcast, which is a great podcast. He was nice enough to have me on it about a year ago. Today. So, it's cool. And I just want to give him a shout out because he fit this into his schedule. He's about to head out to Greece for the summer. And so he just made time to do this. And I had a great time. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm surprised you did, because the last time we talked later that afternoon, you might have gotten kind of an injury.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't.
You don't hold that against me?
No. Everything happens for a reason, man. Everything happens for a reason. And I don't hold that against you because you're a great dude, by the way.
Thank you.
And you've always supported like anything I do. So I'm in a heartbeat.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
So there wasn't any part of you that thought I was bad luck?
No, I actually thought you were good luck because I was like, oh, at least I had this awesome podcast and interview before I got
wow okay
it could be worse. It could always be worse.
Yeah, it could
always be worse, trust me.
How you feel now? You just came back from a workout?
I feel amazing, man. Knocking wood, I feel great. I just want to I can't wait for the next season to start. I can't wait for the summer. I mean, I just work out and do all the stuff. So
yeah, great. You're going back to Greece?
I'm out of here
every summer, man. Are you excited?
Yeah, bro. I'll tell you one thing, right? Whenever I go to Greece, it's an amazing thing because for us as a family too, because, it's our family time. But at the same time, we work, right, when it comes to our businesses. And then we work when it comes to the court. And Greece is such a good place in Europe in general because, like, even the Mediterranean cuisine, right, the food and everything, like, you stay in shape. You never get out of shape.
Whoa. Pause right there.
Yeah.
Pause right there. What are you trying to say about Midwest food right now?
I'm not trying to talk about Midwest food. What I'm trying to say is about like how much in general in the U.S. has so much big variety when it comes to food. So it's impossible to avoid anything, right? It's impossible to go like, I'm not going to eat this. And then next in your face, you go like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to eat Five Guys. And then I'm like, oh, then I'm going to eat Chick-fil-A. Oh, no, I'm not going to eat Chick-fil-A. But then I'm going to have, Shake Shack. Oh, I'm not going to have Shake Shack. Like, it's so many things. So it's always being thrown into your face, like, to have a, the cheap meal or, like, the snack. Yeah. Or so, no, it's not about
Midwest. I mean, just to be
I like Midwest. That's true.
Okay. And to be very clear, the Midwest has some. We have some of the most unhealthy food the world has ever seen. You know, whether it's deep fried cheese curds, brats. Have you had a brat yet?
No, you told me you was gonna give me barbecue
outside. I got a grill going, So if you want your first brat today.
Oh, yeah.
You will do it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got news for you. That's going to be a cheat meal, though.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Just you know what I want, though?
What's that?
I want the brat, but give me the simplest version of it. Because I feel like
you don't trust me at all, do you?
I trust you, but I don't want to get like the peppers and the I just want to get the simplest version of it.
Standard brat.
Yes.
Okay. Not even mustard, not even horseradish.
I'll do those.
Okay.
Those I'll do. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that going for you. I got the grill going just for you. Okay.
Oh.
First brat. I mean, this is like if I were to go to Greece. And yeah. I would have the most Greek cuisine possible. Yeah. What would be the equivalent of the brat in Greece?
Souvlaki.
Souvlaki?
Yes.
Okay. What's that?
It's pita. You know what pita is?
Pita
bread.
Yeah.
Right? You put gyros.
Okay.
And gyros could be the chicken, beef, pork. It could be, one of those three.
Yeah.
And it's like a doner, but it's not doner. It's not goat. It's like those three. You put those, you put a little bit of tomato, tzatziki, you put maybe some onions.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to rock. Some potatoes, depends if you want to make it like the full
house. Deal. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be the equivalent of me like adding on the peppers and everything, probably. Yeah. Which you don't need in your life right now. Okay, I got it. Well, I got to do that sometime. I got to come to Greece.
Anytime. I'm going to be there, I'm going to be out there. So you're invited.
Thank you.
Just let me know if you want to, apartment, home, state, whatever, just show up.
I appreciate that. You. I'll just show up.
Just show up.
And hope you answer your phone.
No. Just show up.
Okay. All right, cool. So what's the best time to be out there? Because, the season's obviously during the winter. You're out there during the summer. Is that the ideal time to go there? Or is it just the time you got?
So this is very interesting that you say. So, Greece, has a... basically has a big, big, big season, right? For the summer. So it's like 6 months summer in Greece, right?
Oh, wow.
Which is big.
It's like our winter.
And but the summers in Greece are very nice. Middle of the summer that kind of gets really hot. But in between that, after that, it's really, really nice. And it's not like Vegas hot. It's just hot, but really nice.
See, this is a whole conversation, though. Like,
because
Vegas is really hot, but it's that dry heat, desert heat.
Yeah.
So do you like more that Florida heat, like the humidity added in?
No, I like Greece. Greece is in between those.
Okay, it's in between those.
Not too humid, because you don't want to go out there and feel like you're sweating before you even step out. The hotel or, your home. But I think Greece is just right.
Perfect. No better place than Greece. Nice. So when you're out there, we got phrases in the Midwest, if we want to say I love you, we say watch out for deer or something. We really make sure people know that. How do you guys say I love you in Greece without actually saying I love you? Do you have a phrase like that?
So how do we say I love you in Greek without saying I love you?
Yeah.
We do have a phrase. Well, I do think we have a phrase. I just can't think about it right now. But, our phrase would be equivalent to you guys saying, hey, be careful out there.
Okay.
That's our phrase, prosinha. It doesn't necessarily say I love you, but it says I care.
Yeah.
So we do have that.
Right. What about love generally? Because I feel like the reason we say something like watch out for deer, take care of yourself or whatever, is because in the Midwest, we not everybody, but I would say a lot of people, we're largely disconnected from that love thing. We don't want to give too much of ourselves, in terms of showing our true emotions. We like to repress emotions.
That's
what I'm telling you. Is that the way in Greece, or do you guys really feel your emotions there?
No. So the thing about Greek culture, I come from two big cultures, right? So
yeah.
Greek and Nigerian culture. And they're very similar in a lot of things, but I'll tell you the thing about Greek culture is that they're very open as people. We're one of the few countries in Europe that actually cares about accommodating and speaking English. And because if you go to a lot of countries, you'll be surprised how many of them don't speak English, or maybe they do speak, but they don't want to engage because they feel like that's.
Yeah.
We are very, very accommodating, and we have this word. It's called the philoxenia. So philoxenia is basically hospitality, right? And if you know, I'm a little bit historian and stuff like that. The stuff they teach us in Greek, like in school, you know, it comes from a word, and the origin of it is why, you know, everybody says like, oh my God, in Greece is so hospitable and they have great service and everybody's so friendly. Yeah, but it's from the ancient times, because in the ancient times, they used to think that whenever a visitor would come, he was a god in disguise. So you would have to treat him, you know, with love and respect, and, you know, offer him everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Zeus, this, that, like, oh, like you would think it was a god in disguise. So from the history, it was always been like very, very big into hospitality, into like showing your, you know, love, and, you know, we're very, very loving people.
That's interesting. Yeah. Like, kind of take care of everyone as if they're like a god, sort of.
Yeah, no, in disguise.
In disguise.
Because that's what the history and the mythology, that was the whole thing. You know, Zeus would come in, this god would come in disguise, and he would dress like a beggar, and you would give him like a loaf of bread, welcome him to your home and take care of him. And then he would, you know, give you a little bit of, you know.
I like that. I think we have some of that in the Midwest. Like, we'll bring you in, mm-hmm. you know, we'll give you like a casserole. We'll ask you if you want a beer, you know, we'll offer to cook you brats. Oh, you guys stay for dinner, you know, that kind of thing. But we're just not going to like open up our
emotions
and emote, you know? So like also like Nigerian culture, Greek culture, which one opens the emotions more? Which one's more like open with the emotions and which one's more like closed?
I want to say, so think about this, the way I grew up, right? I think more in the Greek culture side of it. I think more Nigerians is just like so, they have different, like the way we were raised. Like, I feel like people who are raised in Nigeria and people come out of Nigeria are like superhumans, right? Yeah. Like it's, like if you come out of Nigeria, you it's not by accident that a lot of Nigerians excel overseas, right? If you know it's sports, from Anthony Joshua, the NFL, to doctors, to scientists, like they excel because the way of everything is so, you got to adapt at every time. And then at the same time, you really got to be as much as composed as you can. So I don't think there's a lot of emotion when it comes to
I got you.
That's how I grew up, at least. I don't know. Maybe
you kind of brought that up, like when that dad got into your brother's face a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like I think on your podcast you brought up the story and your brother brought it up of like when you guys won the title, your mom was kind of like, can I come out on the court, you know? And you brought up how like your dad always, I can't remember if it was you or your brother brought this up, it was the same podcast, but about how like in a room he would kind of like be soft spoken or whatever. And that was kind of the experience of an immigrant in a different country. Is that kind of where that comes from?
But that's the old version. That's the last version of Nigerians. Like, I'll give an example. Like, my dad, the way we grew up, you know, because we had such a journey, right? It's such an adventure with my mom and dad. And, you know, they're immigrants. They go to Greece. They create a new life, kids, everything. And it's always been this bubble around us. Like, I was like, hey, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do anything. It's just always been, you know, very calculated, very, you know, like, tread lightly, you know? And just like, okay, I remember people, can I tell you the story? So when my dad passed away, aging at the time, at the rest is part of the funeral, where we at, it was just the family and just us, nobody, right? Just us and our agents, which is extended family. Like we are there with them too long. And the amount of like, I could see it in their faces of how sad they were crying, how sad they were and everything. You know, I was like, man, you know, my dad was a great man. And then, you know, one of my agents sat me down at the time. He said, you don't understand how great your dad was. He said, having Giannis, having you guys, having one of the best players and families in the world, and your dad never asked for nothing. Never said like, you got to do this for my son. You got to do this. He has to be here. He has to, nothing. He would say, like, just take care of them. Just make sure they're okay. nothing, you know? And he said, and I have, this is my player. This is the guy I have. This is the my players, right? And he never asked for nothing. And then I have other guys who are just like, every day, just push. That's, you know what I'm saying? You know how dads are, right? How mom and dads are. You're their agent and son, and this is what we want. This is what we want to do. My dad never said anything. He never talked about basketball. He never said, I think you should go to this team. I think you should do that. Never. He was always say, do you like the coach? I was like, yeah. You think he's gonna give you an opportunity to just be on the stage? That was his thing, like, get on the stage. And I remember when I first got with my first agent, he was like, oh man, Finesse, I can do this, I can do that. I was like, no, you don't even tell me anything. Just, can you just get me there? Just get me there and we'll make something happen. Just get us there. So that does comes from my dad.
Yeah.
Because he always like, get your opportunity to get on the stage and stuff like that. But you see, it's something that it's in part of our DNA now. It's part of us now. So.
And everyone can feel that. Like you and your brother, just like the humility that you guys have and the raw talent and everything. I mean, it doesn't go hand in hand by any stretch of the imagination, typically in pro ball, you know, or whatever. Well, really pro anything, you know, if you got a lot of skill, it's hard to have that 1-2 punch of skill and humility, you know. And speaking of skill, how you feeling physically?
Feeling good, man. I just went through a stretch, tough stretch. I was telling this to, I think I was talking with my co-host on my podcast with Tony. I said, like, you know, me being hurt and just kind of got it just influenced by all these things. Like, it wasn't the best year. And then I was feeling, you know, like, I got to prove myself. I got to do all these things. And then with social media and all these other stuff, I was like, now I got to show them. I got to do this, all these things. And kind of boom it. Like, instead of me saying like, hey, just be me. And everything works its way out. So it's way out. And then now I'm in a great, great, like, stride, move. Like, I'm feeling great. I feel great.
Yeah, I mean, that is tough, isn't it? Because I feel like even in this world, sometimes you get into that thing of feeling like I'm only as good as my last video.
Yes.
Or like maybe for you, it's I'm only as good as my last game or something. Do you have that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm only as good as my last game, but the coach ain't really give me a chat. Like, it's crazy. Like, you might say I'm good as long as my last video, and your last video was great. You just didn't post it on time. Maybe you didn't post it the right time. Maybe you didn't even post it in the right platform. And it does it injustice because now you're feeling like, oh, shit, I'm inadequate, or I got to give more and more. It's not a bad feeling. That's the feeling of somebody who would not stop till he gets to where he wants to be. That's not a bad feeling. The bad feeling comes after. If you decide and say, like, you make everything else obsolete and you go like, no. I don't care about anything else. This is what matters. Like, no. That's not how it works. It's a whole package.
Right.
You're not just about your last video. You know what I'm saying? So
you're saying you take that as sort of the drive, the fuel, the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But you take the fire kind of like leave the ashes or something. Yes. You know, you use it to fuel you, but you're still, you know, you're all these other roles as a human being, like brother, son, all that sort of stuff.
This is the reality, right? Nobody can say the only thing you're good for is because you're a comedian. No, you're not. You're a good, great person, bro. You got a personality. You have all these traits, all these other things, you know? Like, I see people be like, oh, man, I just stay home all day with my kids and I'm just a great dad. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a great dad. But that's not the only thing you are, bro. You're like, you can literally be so many other things for other people. And I'm not saying that that's not important. It's important to be a great dad. It's important to be a great player. It's important to be all these things. But don't put limits in yourself and go like, oh, yeah, that's the only thing I'm good for.
Right. Because you're doing ball, yes, but also like the social media stuff. You're an entrepreneur, you know, like how do you keep it all in balance? And like, what do you like the most out of it that like once your career is done, you're like, I want to do this thing. Do you have something like that?
Yeah. So I do have. So when I'm done. So now, hopefully in the next 5-6 years, probably, you know, I'm going to be, what, 39-ish in the next 6-7 years, then 940, I'll probably be done. Okay. I do want to spend time with the family. And, you know, talk with kind of people, you know, they're trying to kind of get me to get into the front office and space and basketball NBA and stuff like that. We'll see. I do believe I'll crush it for sure. There's no way. I'm very dedicated. I really, you know, and obviously, you know, all this with the NBA front office has to do with connections and who you know and the bringing of the players and how to recruit. I've been doing this behind the scenes my whole life.
Yeah.
My whole life. So I can see that one part of it. But other than that, I do a lot of business. So I just kind of, I'm loving the brand, the stuff I do with my brand, the podcast. So for now, I'm like just doing all these things because I started doing this all these things after my 9th year playing professionally, right? 9th. And now I'm just like, what, 12 years in, 13 years in. So after my 9th year, I was like, okay, now I got to start kind of cultivating the other stuff too.
Yeah. Like
before that, it was just ball.
Well, isn't it crazy that like, because I mean, I do stand up, yeah. You know, and then you have all these other things. Yeah. Do you like this stuff? Or are you like, I got to do that because I got to build a brand to like make these other things happen? Like, do you wish you could just play ball?
So no, I don't wish I could just play ball because that is the common mistake everybody does, right? When they start playing, they go two ways, which is wrong both ways. They go like, oh, I got to build my brand before I play basketball. That's wrong. You got to play you got to do your thing first.
Yeah.
Show up in the court and then build your brand. And then they go like, you know what? I'm going to play basketball. And then when I get 40, then I'm start building my brand. That's false. They're both wrong. What you want to do is that build your ecosystem. What does that mean? Build your relationships, build your alliances, build the businesses that you like, pick 3 or 4 or 5, whatever it is that you like. I can see myself doing that. And once you do that, they're all connected. They're all connected. Because I'll give an example now. Let's say we met through the podcast, through comedy, stand-up comedy, etc. And I go like, hey, I'm having this huge event in Greece. Would you like to come be, you know, the first gig, the first show, the first guy? Like, oh, you're like, yeah. We met through podcasting.
Right.
Show.
Yeah.
Give another example. You come to our family office and I go like, hey, we're buying this building or something we're buying, you know, in Greece, Mykonos, in LA, Miami, we're buying this building. Would you want to be involved? You go like, oh yeah, sure. So it's an ecosystem. You cannot stop an ecosystem.
Right.
The thing, what you can stop is a one-way moving train, which is if you just play basketball, you're dedicated to playing basketball. If COVID hits again, which knock on wood, it never hits again or anything, something like that never hits again.
You got to actually knock on that wood,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah,
that would be good.
There. Yeah. You're going to be devastated because what's going to happen is it's going to be like, oh my God, I've been such one-dimensional person and I don't have nothing else. The only thing I know is to chase a basketball, which is not a bad thing, but you should be able to cultivate yourself and say, okay, is that all you are? Is that who you are? Is that what you want to be? Now, you want to be dedicated. Great. Don't get me wrong. But that's all you are?
Yeah. No, I mean, I really enjoy this stuff too, especially like the podcasting, because you do like, you get to talk about stuff you're interested in and yeah, you get to network, you get to meet people that you wouldn't all otherwise be able to meet and just have conversation, and that sparks ideas and all that sort of stuff. So it's just fun too. I mean, life is short. Why not have fun with it? You know, exactly. Speaking of fun, do you like this bird?
I love this bird.
Hannah made it. It's a paper mache.
It's a what?
It's paper mache, but it's a loon.
Loon.
And the loon, it's the Minnesota state bird, only because Wisconsin, like we have so many loons, like we don't talk about it. You know, Minnesota needs to make it their state bird, though. It's like a huge flex. But this is a cool bird. It's like it's a duck in a tux, if you want to think about it that way.
Duck in a tux. Yeah. I like it. I can see it.
Yeah,
I can see it.
What's your favorite bird in Greece? Because I'm like a big birder, so I just when I go to Greece, I want to know what to look out for.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not a bird person.
You're not a bird guy.
No, but I do like eagles and stuff like that. Like,
eagles,
like hawks, eagles, and like I can see that.
More of the birds of prey, huh? The predatory ones.
Yeah. No. Not only that. I think. But I just feel like I like the way they're so free and so dynamic. Like, first of all, I think how free they are. I think see everything and just like fly.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they just, I mean, we call them predators because we see them do that, but they could choose to be anything.
Yeah. They could be pacifists. Yeah. They could be one of those hawks that just goes and eats berries. Huh? You know, how dare we judge, you know? All right. So bird watching, that's like one of my hobbies outside of all the work stuff. What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, doesn't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that, but when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. There's good news and bad for President Trump in the latest CBS News poll. Here's CBS News Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys, Jennifer DePinto.
The president continues to get strong approval from his Republican base, but beyond that, he gets mostly negative approval.
Democrats are blaming Trump for the growing demands for the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar on CNN.
So the president blaming Democrats for this disaster is like that CEO that got caught on camera blaming Coldplay, okay? This is his making.
Gaza's health ministry says at least 73 Palestinians were killed today while trying to reach aid at locations across the territory. Children are getting more and more desperate for food. The BBC spoke with Palestinian journalist Ghata Al-Hord.
Kids, they are looking in the garbage for anything to eat. People, they are just collapsing while they are walking in the street.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Another win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beating the Dodgers again. 8-7 last night in Los Angeles. Milwaukee now with a 9-game winning streak. Now, the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani hit his 33rd homer of the year. He leads the National League. But the Brewers kept coming back. They're now 5-0 against the defending World Series champions after that 3-game sweep in Milwaukee before the All-Star break. Although Freddie Peralta won his 7th straight start, he wasn't particularly sharp, giving up 4 runs and 5 hits in 5 innings pitched. But the Brewers tacked on some insurance runs to maintain the lead. Right fielder Isaac Collins with a 363-foot homer over the short right field wall in the 4th inning. Caleb Durbin with an RBI double in the 6th. Then Joey Ortiz with a home run to round things out. So again, the final, the Brewers 8-7 over the Dodgers last night. Game 3 of this series wrapping up this afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny for today, but areas of smoke out there. Light east to northeast winds and highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy tonight. Still some smoke with lows in the mid and upper 50s. Smoke thinning out Monday. Mostly sunny. Once again, upper 70s. Currently 74 degrees.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens. This is Civic Media, and here's my conversation with the NASA's Antetokounmpo. What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, don't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that, but when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Which movie theater do you go to?
So
let's blow up your spot a little bit.
No. You can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. You cannot blow up my spot because. But
you can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. That's why I can't blow up your spot, because you're going to tell me after we're rolling.
No. I can tell you. I go to Brookfield Tavern. I go to AMC. I feel like though like they've kept really. The traditional, like, because they went through a phase, right? And with Amazon now and everything, but I'll always be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm 60, 70. I always believe in the family, the weekend, or alone, you know, or solo. I go solo sometimes, going to the movies.
That's what I was just going to ask. There's only a certain type of person that goes to a movie alone. I'm also that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
We should go to the movies together, and you just sit over there. I'll just sit over here.
That'd be great. You just tell me the movie, the time and place. We'll go there. We may not even see each other, but we'll both text after.
Yeah, I'll just text you like, hey, are you watching this? Okay, we're watching. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm the creepy guy up in the corner myself. Are you the other creepy guy in that corner by yourself? Okay, glad we got it.
I do believe that. I just feel like that. When I say hobbies, I like hobbies that involve like just experience and family. Like, I'll give an example. One of the hobbies that everybody keeps telling me to do, and I don't do it, I don't ski. And I don't ski. And a lot of people, like in Greece, we have like mountains and stuff. And in Europe in general, it's big, right? You snowboard, you ski. I'm the guy who like, I won't do that, but I'll come for the chalet, like I'll come for the, you know,
so you're
the cabin.
Up, yeah, you're up there for the ambiance,
for the jacuzzi and the stories and the the hanging out. I'll come for that.
Okay,
that.
You've never skied though, no interest.
Never, because I mean, obviously, with basketball, I mean, it's kind of impossible to, quote unquote, ski. Nobody says no, but you don't want to do extreme sports while you're.
No, right. Not when you can make a lot of money. Why would you pay $200 to go blow out your knee or something when you can get paid good money to blow out your knee or something, you know? I was never very good at skiing. I've done it, but I'm not good at it.
Did you like it?
I like it, yeah. And I go once in a while, but I never grew up skiing.
Okay.
But I grew up rollerblading. I had a pair of rollerblades because I was pretty cool. As a kid.
Do they have a roller ability? Do they have a
roller rink?
Yeah.
They skate land. They probably have one somewhere. I haven't gone in a bit. But
which one was the, it was a movie I watched.
Here we go.
Was it?
It's about roller derby?
No. Oh.
Was it?
Might have been.
Okay.
Might have been roller derby. It's crazy. I was watching. I was like, oh my God, this is dope. Is this a real sport? And I was like, no way. It's a real sport. But
yeah, the derbies, dude, they get intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever roller skated or rollerbladed?
Maybe younger, but I was skate, not rollerblade. Skate skateboard. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, on a skateboard.
I was a big fan. Like when I was younger.
Yeah.
I used to break dance. It was real. Like I used to break dance. Used to parkour. You know what parkour is?
Yeah. You did parkour.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Dude, what's some crazy stuff? Can you do like a flip without a trampoline?
Now I'm 6'7". Now, probably could.
Wow.
I haven't done it in a minute, but I probably could. So parkour.
You want to try right here?
No, I'm not going to try right here.
Had to ask.
But I would do like, you know, obstacle jump, quick. Like, so there's a, so in Greece we had this sprint.
Yeah.
So we used to call this, it was after the school and we would like sprint.
Yeah.
And what is it? So you go through obstacles and but you got to run full speed. You can't like just jog in and jump. Do
oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
yeah.
like jump, the thing catch, where you jump over. Catch, everything. And like I was big into that.
This is a parkour course.
Yeah.
Is what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was, but not a legit one. We just made it.
Okay.
It was made up by us. I did that.
That's like extreme. That's like
BMXing without the bike.
Yeah, I do. I had a BMX bike.
Really?
Yes.
Like with the pegs and everything, and yes, you grind.
Yes, that's how I started jumping high. So,
really?
So true story. When I was younger, I had a BMX bike, and I used to ride it around. I used to have my brother. There's a scene in the movie that my brother's holding my shoulders. He's holding my shoulders. And I used to ride all Athens like this, go to practice everywhere, like this with the BMX bike. You know, BMX bikes are a little bit smaller. They're not the mountain bikes or the smaller. And I used to ride that all the time and my backpack. And then all of a sudden, one summer, true story, I couldn't touch the rim. I could not touch the rim. And then one summer, I did that. Came September, two hands, one hand behind the back, like everything. I was like, what happened? And they were just telling me like, hey, you just really build your muscles through the bike,
riding
the bike and your quads, yeah.
Wow, so BMX.
I got taller just a little bit, but yeah.
Right, but it was more about the quad strength.
Yeah.
And you got that by just biking around.
Just biking around and with my brother.
What was your best BMX trick?
I think just lifting the steer and just pushing.
Oh.
That was it. And then just jumping over obstacles. That was it. I didn't really have no.
Okay.
I'm not. You know, I wasn't a professional like esports or job. Like it was just that.
Yeah, yeah. You chose to, like, as soon as you could dunk, you were like, all right, I'm gonna focus on this. Probably better. I feel like the injuries on BMX are, shorter now careers.
I was. This was close to basketball. I was 14, 15. It was like 14.
15. Oh,
and it was. If you think about it, too, it was. I loved it. You know why? Because somebody gave us that bike, right? Because BMX bikes are very expensive.
Yeah.
And he just gave us that bike and was running around. And I will never forget this. This is the reason why I want to come to the story. And I was with my brother and we were like, you know, outside, you know, kind of working. You know, we used to sell stuff in the streets and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Just working. And I left my bike and I went back and my bike was gone.
Damn. That's brutal.
Sick in my stomach. I couldn't sleep for like 2-3 days, man. Bro, my bike was gone and I thought about it. I was so pissed. I was like, when I see this kid, and I always thought it was a kid. I don't know. Maybe it was an adult. Who knows? And I was like, when I see this kid, now looking back to it, I was like, oh, it happens. You know, those other stories that you see in the movies, it's like, oh, they stole my bike.
Yeah. I feel for you. I feel for little you. I can see little you pissed off.
Pissed off.
Did you cry?
Just me?
Did you cry or you get pissed?
I had the pissed off tears.
Okay.
I had the pissed off tears. I was like,
yeah.
But me and my brother was like, man. And we looked out the block, over the block to find it. Couldn't find it.
Damn. Sorry, dude.
That's right.
Have you bought one since?
You want to hear the story?
Yeah.
This past summer.
Yeah.
I went online and found the exact same bike, exact same wheels for the photo shoot. And I bought it and I sent a photo to the group chat. And I told Giannis, I found our bike. You should have seen his eyes lit up. It's like, what? Where'd you find that? Same bike, exactly. Like, you know, it was an old school 1992, like a specific, like, yeah. Same bike, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Found it. I'll send you a photo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you remember what kind it was? Do you think there's any chance this was the exact same bike? Do you think
for sale?
Yeah.
Somebody no.
It was in Wisconsin you found it or in Greece?
In Greece.
Okay.
Greece.
Could have been the exact same bike, dude. You never know. Was there anything different about it?
I think there's no way the wheels are so well kept since then. So definitely the wheels a little bit, but you couldn't tell the difference.
Okay. Yeah, let me see that thing. I used to be a bike mechanic, so I'm kind of a bike nerd, you know, or as some people call it, a bike fixer. That's not a real mechanic. Thanks, Dad.
Wow, I'm trying to look for photos. I can't find them.
Yeah, you know, like your phone's always great about like saying, hey, remember
this one? Oh, sick. Is it?
Nice. So you got it, and then you guys do ride around it? Was Giannis on the back with you again?
No, we're too tall now.
Well, you're not too tall. You can figure it out.
Yeah,
you're
too tall now, but
you guys should do like a how it started, how it's going picture. You know?
Yeah. I you know when I want to do that?
What?
People. I feel like sometimes people are too fast to do it. They go like they do it too fast. I want to do that like 85.
85. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I want to be, you know, kids around, family, everybody. How it's going? Like just us. Be as kids and then boom.
Yeah.
35 people in the picture. Like, how's it going now?
You're playing the long game here. I like it. I like it. All right, cool. So, I think everyone, you know, kind of wants to know, what city are you thinking of living in next year?
So what is the question? You want to ask me if Jan is leaving or anything like this?
You know, no, I wasn't going to be rude.
You can be legit.
All right. What's Giannis doing next year? What are you doing next year?
It would be very, very, very bad of me and very, very unfair to answer for another person.
That would be.
That's one.
Yeah.
Second of all is that we get asked that every other day.
Bro. Well, that's so why I didn't
make,
ask you.
It doesn't make any difference. You could ask me anything, bro. Everybody asks us that, from people in the street to ESPN to in the court, before the court, after, like, it doesn't matter.
I'm not everyone else.
Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
you forced this out of me, you know? You basically were begging me to ask. And I was asking about you. I didn't even ask about you.
No. But what I would say is that I truly believe, like, the team, you know, like, they're trying to figure something out and trying to figure out what to do and stuff like that. Now, well, the other thing I would tell you too is that you got to think about this. Like, the team has been in a row for a minute, and they're going through a rough patch, and you know, with the, like, not it, it, it it's not a, and people confuse some couple of stuff. They go, like, they talk about the first round exits, right? They go, like, oh, first round, and, you know, we lost first round, and we've been hurt. So the first round exit don't really matter because you've been hurt. It's more or less of the regular season, though. Like, you want to be better in the regular season. You want to create good habits, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, there's no, like, I cannot, you know, there's nothing, man. I think, like, they're going to talk. Hopefully they get him to, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully they do whatever, you know, they do their best and get him to stay, whatever. Or, you know, I haven't been involved in this conversation because I haven't been here.
Yeah.
Last year. I was, you know, it's hurt. So I haven't really been team, because if I was, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to talk about this, but, you know, I get stuff done. So I don't, like, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, yeah, let's talk about this or let's talk about that. But what I would say is that the team has always done the best. Giannis has always, and I don't know if I'm cursing this, but he's always been this amazing, effing unbelievable, bro, person for the team, for the city, for everybody. Right. And I say this, I am biased a little bit because he's my brother, but I do say this because I see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
I see that all day. So it's crazy to just even think about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, business is business. And, you know, I'm not saying business is business with Giannis. We saw that with, you know, Drew left, you know, Chris got traded, and, you know, and we've been with a couple of guys. Like, I've been with the team, like, almost a decade, like over half a decade plus. So yeah. I see this and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know, you just always hope it's not the last rodeo, but shoot, it's not up to me. It's not up to me.
Right.
It's up to them. It's up to them. So it's not something I can control.
I mean, and, you know, a big part of your role is like, you know, what you hear in interviews and everything, what people say is like how great you are, like, in the locker room too. And, like, how much leadership you have and how much your brother, like, loves having you there and, like, looks to you, you know? Like, do you think...
I think this can be a misconception, right? And I really believe this. I think the other people love me, having me more. Like, they have, the other people love having me more than my brother. this is not even a joke. I really believe this. Like, I really believe, like, people around, like, was like, yo, you need to be here. And I say this all the time, but I'm grateful, I'm blessed, I'm happy, man, just to be involved in this community, be involved with the team. And, you know, and we won a championship, bro. I cannot make this up, you know. And I've felt this feeling as a brother, being proud of my brother winning a championship with Kostas. I've had this feeling winning with my brother a championship and winning myself a championship. So it's like, it's a different mentality, vibe, and I understand that, you know, we strive and we work hard to do it again and again and again, as many times as we can, because we don't have all this opportunity.
No.
You know what I mean? If you're a coach or if you're a GM, you can be a GM or a coach CEO at 65 to 70 if you want to, right? But as a player, you don't get a lot of chances in the postseason run,
right?
And in the run towards the championship. So, you know, I'm grateful for what we've done so far.
Yeah. And do you feel like you'd always want to be on the same team together?
Me and him?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, we always play together, apart from 3 years. Yeah. We always play together, which is insane to say, but we've always played together in the same team. And we played together from since I was 15, then when I was 19, 18 to 21, or 20, no, 22, 4 years apart. You played with the Bucks, and then I came in 2019, I mean, the Bucks till now. I guess it's been fun, man. I love it. And oh, man, I don't want to say it's been fun. Like, that sounds a little bit.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Mikusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
And it's time for Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Thank you so much for joining us today as the Rafters get back on the road to take on the Green Bay Rockers. It's the first time that the Rafters are away from Winter Field for a game since July 8th, nearly 2 weeks ago, and hoping to get back on the right track. It's been a tough run for the Rafters at home, but looking to turn things around, and especially they want to get that offense going, but going to be tough to do against the first half champion Green Bay Rockers. It's a home-and-home series, first off in Green Bay after dropping both of the games against Madison the last 2 days. The Mallards last night won a 5-0 game over the Rafters. It was the second shutout of the season, second shutout in 2 games that the Rafters had. And so trying to turn things around, and well, it's not going to get too much easier with another great pitching staff in the Rockers. Taking a look at the matchup for today, Tristan Krusenberry, the righty on the mound for the Rafters. He's back on the mound after a very strong previous 2 games. His last one, he came out of the bullpen, but the one before that, he had a quality start on. So his last 7 innings, he's allowed just 1 earned run. Prior to that, though, it had been a little bit up and down for him, but hoping to carry over the momentum from the past time. Taking a look on the other side, the righty Mac Crowley is on the mound for the Rockers, and he is looking to make it for a big-time game today after coming off of a season-long performance his last time out. So looking at that, it's going to be a tough matchup for the Rafters to take on as Crowley looks to continue and go deeper into games. But we've got a good pregame interview coming up in just a moment. We're going to be talking with Landon Dazar, one of the Rafters' new pitchers who signed post-All-Star break and made his debut yesterday. It wasn't the game that he was hoping for a couple days ago, but he's hoping to turn things around. So back to action, and well, we will go ahead and hit a quick break. When we come back, it's time for that pregame interview with Landon Dazart and then starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown after that on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball for a fun-filled day. They're throwing a Rafters Baseball Kids TV Takeover on Sunday, July 27th at 3:05 p.m., and you won't want to miss it. Your favorite Kids TV characters will be there ready to meet you and take pictures. Enjoy some tasty food and cheer on the team with your family and friends. It's going to be an awesome day of excitement and laughter, so bring everyone along to Witter Field. They can't wait to see you there.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day.
Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result, unquote. The report orders the city of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Hello and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me on the show, it's Landon Desart. And Landon, making your debut last night for the Rafters. Didn't go the way that you wanted, but I mean, it was a quick turnaround for you. First day in a Rafters jersey. I mean, how did it kind of feel just getting in with the team and then, you know, taking the mound for the first time?
Obviously, it's a new experience. Meeting everybody new. Got there 2 days before, just me and the guys, playing since, I think it was 2 months ago, I had my last game, and, you know, just coming back on the mound, a lot of nerves, and, yeah, nothing much to it, but, yeah.
Well, you look at this past season for you over at Madison Area Tech, and it was really good season. Sub-1 ERA, I mean, that's tough to do in any amount of games. I mean, how did it feel for you on the mound collegiately this freshman season for you?
Felt really good, felt really dominant, working in three pitches, my fastball, curveball, changeup, felt just amazing on the mound then, and stopped a little bit in the summer, started working out a little bit just to get a little stronger, get ready for the fall season, and yeah, felt pretty good.
Well, the stuff in the first game, I mean, obviously didn't get the results that you wanted, but I mean, you were throwing a low 90s fastball and getting good location on the pitches. A couple of them maybe left a little bit too much over the plate, but when you look back at the game, what were your kind of biggest takeaways from your debut appearance?
You can't leave it down the middle. It's a D1 hitters. Can't do that. You know, pitch to contact in this league is important. Also, limiting walks is important, but I just got to be better around the edges, get my stuff sharper, and I think I'll be fine in this league.
And when you look at your first season in college and now trying to get back and into the flow of things, I mean, what has kind of been your biggest takeaway between the difference here versus when you pitched in high school?
The difference here for sure is that their approaches are a lot harder to, like, dissect and see what they're trying to do. Usually in high school, they'll swing at anything and everything, but here they're looking for one pitch and one pitch only, and it's a lot harder to try and get them off that wave when they're looking for it.
Well, I want to talk about it a little bit. Of course, Madison Area Technical College, same place that Noah Marschke went, so assuming that you guys know each other, is he part of the reason why you came here to Rapids?
It is a part of the reason. He talked about great things about the Rafters. So far, from what I've been here for 5 days, I think, it's been an amazing experience, and I love it here.
Well, obviously staying in the Wisconsin area for you, what's the best thing about Wisconsin? Why you haven't left?
Honestly, best thing is probably the food. I love Culver's. Culver's guy, Quick Trip guy for sure. So staying home and have those comfort foods there, really easy for me.
Well, you do know that there are Culver's elsewhere in the nation, too.
It's not the same. Cheese curds here are way better.
Cheese curds are better in Wisconsin. I will agree with that. Well, here in Green Bay, I tell you what, they got some good cheese curds around here. What's it feel like, you know, first road trip with the guys?
I don't know. I feel pretty excited to watch some good baseball here. I feel like we're going to be coming in here starting off strong, pretty hot today. Yeah, the boys are feeling pretty good about this game, and nothing to expect but a win here.
Well, that's kind of all the questions I've got for you. Anything else you want to add real quick?
No. Go Rafters.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time, Landon.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Landon Desart here on the Rafters pregame show. We're going to go ahead and step aside, and when we come back, it's time for starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown. All that comes up next. This is the Rafters pregame show on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Air conditioner not running? Make the call to the bullpen for the Bryant experts at Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces. A proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. They'll work quickly and efficiently to get your AC back up and running. Whether the problem is big or small, trusting Comfort Air to do whatever it takes to repair the problem quickly and efficiently. They'll get your system out of its slump and back in the game.
Need a repair? Schedule it now at comfortair.biz. That's comfortair.biz. Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Mornings on WFHR.
A crash that covered an interstate in boxes of mozzarella cheese.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So this is one of those things that if it happened in front of me, God help me that there's a rational, smart adult next to me that tells me, James, you leave that where it is. You leave that where that is, James. It's free mozzarella. I immediately turn into my father.
Mozzarella gate.
Weekdays from 9 to 11 on WFHR.
Let's get one thing straight. Nothing compares to Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Big wins, fun promos, real cash. No one in the area does it like we do. Every night feels like the weekend. Grab your friends, your family, whoever brings the fun, and fuel up with your favorite meals, sip on something new, and hit the floor. Live music, endless chances to win, and games that light up the night.